other things you might be thinking, oh, Brett, are you going to talk about the solar eclipse? Well, let me show you. This lady did it for us. Let's check this out. Have you guys seen the Holy Nope guy? The Holy Nope guy? Okay, well, here's the Holy Nope guy. It's kind of funny. You got to listen closely to this. Here we go. I'm going to roll this.
It's a beautiful day. Got my Bible. I'm ready to go.
What I'm about to tell you about the upcoming solar eclipse on April 8th is going to blow your mind. Going to blow your mind. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said that an evil and adulterous generation will seek for a sign, but they will receive none except for the sign of Jonah. Except for the sign of Jonah. And in Luke 17, Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The coming of the Son of Man. So get this, the path that the solar eclipse is taking will literally cross over the city of Jonah, Texas, several cities and towns named Nineveh, and it will cross over Rapture, Indiana, and not only that, it will cross over where the Ark is in Williamston, Kentucky. But that's not all. All of this will be taking place under the constellation of Cetus, the whale. To keep up with Bible prophecy, follow or subscribe now.
Oh boy. The Holy Nope guy, he kind of cracks me up. If you didn't hear the first line, it says, beautiful day, got my Bible, like he's going to church, you know, and then he hears all these, if you've seen him online, he's showing a lot of the crazy stuff that's out there. But it's unfortunate. You know, I kind of look sometimes at prophecy, people that are really into prophecy. I put them in sort of two different categories. There's the hyper prophecy people, just like, you know, at Athey Creek, we're charismatics. We believe in speaking in tongues and word of prophecy and all the manifestations that are listed there and, you know, in the scriptures. But we believe in biblical form of that. And there's a lot of hyper charismatics. You know, I call them charismaniacs who really give the Holy Spirit even a bad name. And I think it's unfortunate. I kind of feel that way about Bible prophecy. There's a lot of people out there that sensationalize stuff. And so what's my feeling on the solar eclipse? I think it's going to be no big deal. There's some people saying the rapture's going to happen on Monday. Is it Monday when it's supposed to happen? Yeah, Monday, because there's eclipse and rapture. You know, the traveling is going over Rapture, Iowa, or wherever that's, Rapture, Missouri. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm just going to say that. I was glad to hear you guys laughing because it's sad. But the problem is, I think the enemy likes to use the crazy stuff to discredit the legitimate stuff. Like, there's so much in the Bible, you don't have to puff air into it or try to make it sensational. There's some sensational stuff in the Bible. Like, for example, Israel's a nation right now. That's amazingly sensational that God brought all the Jews back to the Holy Land, just like his word said. That's verifiable. It's 100% true. But man, you got to be careful when people start naming dates and saying, well, you know, April 8th because of the solar eclipse. They were saying that back in 2017 when we had the solar eclipse, that, you know, the rapture is going to happen. And it only like gives us a really bad look, kind of like, you know, people flopping around in the aisles and glitter falling from the ceiling and pounding, you know, the wizard staff, you know, against coronavirus. Like that kind of stuff, just the church should stop it. And no wonder people are turned off to Bible prophecy. There's a lot of good Christian people who say, yeah, whatever, I'm not going to listen to these Bible prophecy updates because there's all these kind of crazy things. So another one that's been, I think, over-sensationalized to a degree, this is where you have to have discernment, and it's not an exact thing. If you've gone through the Bible with us, we've talked about the red heifer, the ashes of a red heifer and what that means and the picture of Christ that it is. There's some really cool things about the red heifer. The problem is a lot of people have over-sensationalized the red heifer stuff. And so there's a lot of crazy stuff that's been the last 10 years. And if you've noticed, I've been kind of a little more silent on the red heifer stuff. I think I talked about it maybe four or five prophecy updates ago, how we need to kind of tone some of that down. But I would like to show you, before I kind of get into the meat of what we're doing tonight, there is some interesting news about the red heifer. But we have to kind of be dialed down and kind of careful about all this stuff. Did you guys see the news? It's been going on now the last week or two that really kind of are interesting. CBS News. Once CBS News is reporting on this, it's something to kind of look at particularly. What are these red cows from Texas? What do they have to do with war and peace in the Middle East? And that's what the CBS News article question is. But here's what it is. Did you guys know the one of the senior leaders of Hamas gave one of the reasons why they attacked Israel on October 7th? And the reason they said that they attacked. Now, by the way, I don't believe this was the real reason they attacked on October 7th, but I think they were grasping for reasons to sort of make sense to someone about why they attacked. Most people believe that the Hamas got trigger happy. There was supposed to be a coordinated attack planned by Iran from Hezbollah, from the Hamas, and from all the proxies of Iran. They were supposed to attack all at once. But most experts on this believe the Hamas just got a little too much craziness going on there, which if you know the Hamas charter and all that, it's nuts. But they were the loose cannon and they pulled the trigger too early. Howbeit, they were very effective in their horrible attack on Israel. And so, the Middle East Iranian proxies are all like, yeah, they should have attacked them, but they did a pretty good job. They raped and murdered and killed babies and beheaded. They get a B+ for that. That's kind of the way the Muslims around the world look at the whole attack. But when talking about the motives of why they attacked on October 7th. You can see this in the CBS News article, and it's in a bunch of other places too, but he accused the Jews of bringing red cows to the Holy Land. That's why they did it. Now you say, what in the world does red cows have to do with it? Well, the cows he was talking about are what we Bible, study folks have known about for a long time. The red heifer is kind of a mark of being ready to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, to say the least. There's a practice there from Deuteronomy that we've taught, you can look it up, where they had to have a perfect red heifer. In fact, it could not have more than two hairs on its body that were black or white. It had to be all completely red. So there's been people, Jews, Christians, trying to fund ranchers to sort of breed the perfect red heifer so that they would have a red heifer to rebuild the temple. Groups like the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, they've been very focused on having a red heifer. And that's the stuff that's been going on since I've been doing Bible prophecy updates, which goes all the way back into the early 90s. So that's been going on for a long time. There were some interesting things. A rancher in Texas, I think he got five cows that were supposed to be perfect, and they shipped them to Israel from Texas. One of the cows wasn't perfectly, let me get this right, one of the cows wasn't perfectly right. Now they have four. I think they may have narrowed it down to three. But these are the three heifers that you see in the picture here. Gray or black or white hairs on it. You're like, Brett, what does that matter? Well, the Bible says there needs to be a sacrifice to purify the temple once you build a temple to consecrate the temple, there has to be a perfect red heifer sacrifice. So there's been a lot of, speculation. Where are they going to find a red heifer and when they do that? Well, the Hamas had heard about these red cows coming to Israel from America, which you got to remember, they think America's the great Satan. So the cows came from the great Satan and they're going to do all this stuff. There's some interesting stir among that part of the world where they believe they're going to sacrifice one of these cows and get ready to build the temple. Now, where are they going to build the temple? The Bible tells us where that temple, this next temple is going to be built. It's going to be built on the Temple Mount. How's that going to happen? See, this is where I don't know that we as Christians have to be too worried about the red heifer. It is it's one of those things I put in the interesting category because we're going to be long gone when that temple, I believe, is built. I think we'll be raptured before that happens. The temple's going to be built when Antichrist comes. How will Antichrist help the temple be built? Does anybody remember? He'll come up with a peace treaty, some kind of a signed agreement between the Arabs and the Israelis, which that's why I always crack up when our presidents are like trying to be the ones to usher peace into the Middle East. You got Clinton and Obama and Bush, and there's always a picture with the Israeli leader and the Palestine leader, and bada bing, they're always shaking hands, and like, that president wants to be the one. I'm like, you better hope you're not the one, because you're the Antichrist then. That's what the Bible says. So it's kind of interesting. But all that to say, it's interesting. Biden's the one so far that hasn't tried to get that picture as much, which is kind of interesting. But all that, currently there are claims circulating that the red heifer sacrifice may begin just before Passover on April 22nd, 2024, or 50 days later on Shavuot, which if you know how that the biblical stuff of that. And so they believe that could happen. If that does happen, what do we do? Freak out? Or is that the rapture of the church? No. I don't believe those are things that are going to point to the rapture of the church. If they do that stuff, that's just one more checked box where they're really readying themselves to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, which is of interest. But again, let's not be freaked out about the red heifers. I've seen a lot of sensationalism come out of that one too. So that's the kind of news you'll see on a lot of the more sensationalist kind of prophecy update type situations. So just a word of caution. There's so much we can talk about that's so astounding and biblical that's not weird. It's just actually, wow, the word of God is right. We can rest on that. But as soon as they start naming dates, like April 8th, which is, what is that, Monday or Tuesday? Something like that, Monday. Yeah, Monday. I can tell you the rapture of the church is not going to happen on Monday. You want to know why? Because I think those things happen at an hour when you think not. If everybody's thinking it's going to happen on April 8th, then you can guarantee it's not going to happen on April 8th. That's what the Bible says. So I think, you know, we don't know the day nor the hour, but we will know what? The times and the seasons. And that is something the Bible gives us. So here's the problem. The critics, some of the guys that say, you Bible prophecy guys are a bunch of wackos chasing down solar eclipses and stuff. And they say, you know, if the rapture of the church happens, we'll just get raptured. So who cares, you know? Well, that attitude is wrong because the Bible tells us over and over again, watch, be ready, be sober, be vigilant. I believe the crazy stuff makes people go, whatever. I believe in pan theology, pan tribulation. It's all going to pan out. So whatever. You guys do your prophecy updates. I'll just happily go along and not think about it. Is that a biblical worldview? Not at all. If you're joking, like I'm just a pan, whatever. No, don't do that. The Bible tells us not to. So what are some of the signs that are going on today? I think the red heifer one's an interesting thing to keep your eye on for sure. But it has to do with the tribulation period, the tribulation temple. I believe we're going to be in heaven when that really kicks off into gear. So, but this is an interesting thing, speaking of the times and the seasons. What I would like to do is remind us what Jesus talked about the last days and kind of compare, you know, what our prophecy updates are kind of looking at world events and situations, geopolitics from a biblical perspective. And what does it have to do, perhaps, with the things the Bible says is still yet in our future? And there's plenty of that to go around. In Matthew chapter 24, we've done in-depth studies on this. I'm not going to revisit the whole thing, but let's just quickly review the list, and then we'll go over some of these things. You know, the end of the age, they asked Jesus there on the Mount of Olives, what are the signs of the end of the age or even the end of the world? And Jesus gave a whole bunch of things. Let me give you just nine of them to kind of think of quickly here. First of all, one of the big things is massive deception. Number two, false messiahs and fake religions. We read in Matthew 24:5. Of course, wars and rumors of wars that would be every nation and of all different ethnicities and what have you. Jesus talked about that. Famine, so there'd be an increase in hunger, Matthew 24:7. There'd be earthquakes in diverse places, Matthew 24:7. Incurable sickness and pandemics or plagues even, as they're called. And also persecution of Christians. These are all things Jesus brought up. The love of believers growing cold. And then also, shockingly, world evangelism would actually be an increase during the last days, as it turns out. So this is a kind of a very quick list of the Matthew 24, some of them, the things that Jesus told us about. I want to go over some of these this evening, and there's a lot to cover here. So if you sense that I'm in a hurry, I kind of am, because the cinnamon rolls are coming, and we can't be here all night. Okay, so let's tackle some of these. First of all, massive deception. This is something that we're seeing. Jesus said there in Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And I want to remind you, this is the very first thing Jesus says when they ask him, "What's the sign of the end of the world?" The very first thing wasn't, you know, "You'll see wars and rumors of wars," or, you know, he said that there's going to be deception. And by the way, those of you who know your Bible, that's one of the marks of the end times, deception. During the tribulation, there's going to be massive deception where people are going to fall for stuff hook, line, and sinker. And then God is going to send those people in that time period strong delusion themselves. So not only will they be deceived by the Antichrist, they'll also, the Lord will send them the inability to see things correctly, because they're it's a little bit like Romans 1, when people grab onto their sins, the Lord says he would give them over to their own lust and perverse desires. During the tribulation, people are gonna just be given over to deception by the Lord himself during the tribulation. Good news, we're not gonna be here for that. But the world is diving headfirst into deception. Do you guys see that? It's amazing to me what they've tried to convince everyone. Sorry, but it's true. We are living in an age where they're convincing that men can have babies and, you know, breastfeed and stuff like this. We're living in a day where people are buying this stuff, hook, line, and sinker, and we're just totally deceived. We don't even know what a woman is, you know. In this past year, we saw some stuff that was shocking. You know, you're supposed to believe all women, or you're supposed to believe some women. Now it's, what is a woman? The Harvard professors and stuff, they don't know, as it turns out, and our Supreme Court justices. It's shocking. But sadly, you know, this deception is really hurting people today. This is something that the Bible does talk about in the last days. There'll be this is something we should know, that Jesus said this will happen in the last days. Did you see this this big study that just came out? It's a big deal, because, you know, we've been doing this gender affirming care in modern days without any real science behind it. It's just a political view. It's really sad what we're doing to children, permanently hurting children because of their gender affirming care. But this came out just a couple days ago. Most gender confused children grow out of it. Landmark 15-year study concludes, as critics say, it shows being trans is usually just a phase for kids. This is interesting. These facts, this article says, make it clear why gender-affirming care on minors is such an outrage. It leads, in the end, to sterilization, and in many cases, to complete loss of natural sexual function. There's no good evidence that this helps minors long-term. Moreover, it medicalizes what could very well be temporary psychological symptoms. The article goes on, history will judge this medicalized gender-affirming care on minors as we now judge eugenics and lobotomies. I think it's going to be even worse than that, frankly. The research was published in a journal, Archives of Sexual Behavior. This is kind of what's going on. And, you know, they kind of graph it out and show how many kids, most kids grow out of their desire to change their sex. The numbers don't lie. They're actually pretty clear on what's going on there. So, and not only, you know, are they trying to push this on kids, but they're trying to do it without parents' knowledge. School districts, some of them are trying to hide the gender-affirming care they're giving to children. This is just nothing short of demonic and evil, but it's part of the deception of our wacko culture, and it's just part of the signs of the times, just to know, wow, are we living in the days Jesus was talking about? And also Paul in 2 Thessalonians about the massive deception that would happen in the last days. You know, sadly, the same kind of deception. I'm not going to say the transgender thing has grabbed onto the church as hard as some other things, but the church, sadly, is so open to being deceived. I'm constantly amazed how many churches jumped on deceptive bandwagons, things like white fragility and Black Lives Matter, stuff that was, now we know there was an ulterior motive and a demonic, you know, backing of, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, of course they would try to use racism to push in their other agendas, like disrupting the nuclear family. That was part of that Black Lives Matter main thing. And Marxism, that's Black Lives Matter. So when all the Christians in churches were posting their Blackout Tuesday, how is the church so easily deceived into thinking these deceptive, wacko sort of worldviews? And I think the answer has to do with a few things that I want to just remind us of. And I know we have a lot of churches and pastors that watch our prophecy updates, but I just wanted to kind of go over these real quick. Why is deception happening in the church? I think the number one reason is decline in biblical teaching. We're doing a lot of topical teaching, but it's like we barely even touch the Bible, but pastors are getting their own worldviews and their own emotional feelings and stuff like that. That's a total waste of time. What we need to do is get back to the Bible, preaching the whole word of God. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Another thing is happening. We're seeing truth is replaced with tolerance. We live in a culture and churches have jumped on this. They've took the bait and said, we need to be more tolerant. So we'll sacrifice truth just to be perceived as loving or tolerance and what have you. That's where you see church people saying, love is love. So why would we be against something like homosexuality when love is love? And the church has largely taken the bait and run with it. But that's all deception that's happening in the walls of the churches in America. We see warnings in the Bible that are perfectly ignored. Spiritual immaturity. I'm always amazed how Christians glob onto stuff because there's not a spiritual depth. The first video I showed you of that nice lady who was trying to make the argument of the solar eclipse and how, you know, it lines up with rapture and these other things. To me, that's just a spiritual immaturity. If you think about it, like think about it for more than 10 seconds. Do you think the Lord's going to use a sign across America? Like one of the things about Bible prophecy you should note is most everything we look at when it comes to signs of the times has much to do with Israel. Israel's the centerpiece of Bible prophecy, not the United States. Guess who's not even mentioned in biblical prophecy in the whole Bible? Yeah, the United States. We're not even mentioned. We're a nothing burger when it comes to end times prophecy. Why is that? We could talk about reasons why the United States is absent. I think it's because we're going to be largely absent for several reasons. One, the rapture of the church, I think, will really hurt the United States as much as any other nation in the world, because there are a lot of Christians still in the United States. But also, we're seeming to implode from the inside out. We're destroying our own country. We're watching that happen right before our very eyes. And I think there's a huge agenda that's very obvious to take our nation down from the inside out. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the reason we don't see the United States. You know, you see stuff like, you know, these other countries, you know, upping their military game exponentially. And you kind of worry sometimes, you know, are we putting enough money and energy and development into our military? I kind of worry about that while other nations are really going for that. I think the United States is not part of Bible prophecy, and there's a spiritual immaturity when we start focusing on ourselves in Bible prophecy, when really Israel is the centerpiece. Jerusalem is the epicenter of all things Bible prophecy. So an eclipse that goes across Iowa is probably not going to be something. It happened many, many times before. Don't get me wrong. There are going to be signs in the skies and the celestial bodies, but it's not going to be something that happens regularly. Like, you know, we know when the solar eclipses are going to be to the day and the hour. We know the exact track, and there's nothing mysterious or revealing about those. So we got to be not spiritually immature when we start discerning some of these signs of the times. Another reason I think deception's happening in the church is doctrine is suppressed for unity. If there's something like women's roles in the church, There's people who say, well, forget what the Bible actually teaches, and let's just kind of do what we feel will unite the church better than what the actual Bible says. Meanwhile, the very churches that are just throwing that doctrine out the window, that's the same reason they're getting into trouble spiritually, is because they don't care about doctrine. They would put unity over doctrine. And then lastly, I'm going to tag on here, spiritual discernment is absent. The discernment is something that you and I need to pray for daily. Oh, Lord, give us spiritual discernment that we can discern spirits and where it comes from, and whether it's of the Lord or of the devil. I feel like discernment has gone out the window, but should we be surprised? Remember what Paul said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. Amos, the Old Testament prophet, in chapter 8, verse 11, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. This is, I think, what we're seeing. Do you ever get a sense that, man, why can't there just be more churches that will just really teach the Bible and have people that are hungry for God's word? I sometimes kind of feel like, wow, you know, we're living in Portland where it's harder to find. I find myself drawing closer to pastors locally here or given to teaching of the word. I had lunch the other day over there. If you know the Southwest Bible Church, Scott Gilchrist, great guy, loves the word, teaches the word. But, you know, Scott and I were kind of marveling at how there used to be in Portland more kind of through the Bible teachers or at least people that gave great credibility and honor to the Bible. But man, it's becoming a rare thing. And you start feeling a little alone, you know? And so that's why it's nice to gather with some of these guys that are, sticking to it. I love that. But don't be shocked. We're going to see, according to the Bible, that's going to become more and more rare. There's going to be a famine, not for food, as much as even the hearing of the word of God. Speaking of that, there's two kinds of people in the church today. There's the kind of people that saw the Super Bowl ad, He Gets Us, and we're like, oh, that's so awesome. Oh, it's such a great thing. I'm glad they spent all that money on the Super Bowl ad on He Gets Us, and it's such a wonderful thing. I'm just going to say, this might sound really condescending, but I believe the people that are saying that, you might want to check your spiritual maturity on that one. Because it really wasn't if you're going to spend money, what are you going to do? What's better, preaching the gospel or making people like you? Because the He Gets Us campaign is sort of this tepid attempt to have people like loving Christians. I'm not sure they even achieved that. If you saw the He Gets Us ad, I remember, was it last prophecy update? I showed you Babylon's Bee entry on this one. He gets us, all of us, sinners relieved to learn Jesus gets them and they don't have to repent or change their lives. There's a pastor who made his own version that he called He Saves Us. Now, if you're watching online, it may have muted audio because of copyright reasons, but you guys that are live here, sorry, we'll be right back after these messages. That's what Paul said, right? I love that. Such were some of us here at Athey Creek, where the Lord saved us. That's the message. The message of the gospel is not he gets us, it's that he saves us. I love that. That's a guy who gets it. And the question is, do you get it? Or were you like, oh, Pastor Brett, you're just being stingy about the whole yeah, he gets us thing. And, you know, come on, jump on board, you know. But I'm just telling you that we need discernment. The Christians seem to be profoundly lacking spiritual discernment. We're more defensive of our feelings about something than we are of what the scripture actually has to say. I'm noticing people are, Christians are more into defending a personality or a ministry more than aligning with scripture. You know, I made some comments about a local church who changed from, you know, complementarian to egalitarian, and they did a big 6-month study. I heard back from one of our congregants that, man, my family was there when you talked about that, and they were really upset because that's the church they go to. And they were just mad, you know, that I would make such a statement. But the statement is so profound. This church is saying the Bible is not really meant to be something that tells the church what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act. That was their conclusion. The Bible is not an instruction book of how the church should behave. It's like, you should leave that church once they say that. That's not a good thing to believe. The Bible gives you everything we need to know for everything, life, but especially how the church is supposed to behave. And that's what the Bible teaches. So be careful. Don't be, I hope nobody defends Brett or Athey Creek. If you find yourself defending me or Athey Creek, you're doing it wrong. What we need to do is say, the reason Athey Creek does that or teaches that or says that is because look what the Bible says. Here's what the scriptures declare. And don't defend us or don't defend me. That's a futile thing. There's no defense for me. I'm just going to make that claim really, really right there at the beginning. But I would say, you and I like what Spurgeon said of the Bible. How do you defend the Bible? How do you defend a lion? Just let it out of its cage. That's the same thing. It's true. The word of God is living and powerful. Well, all of this stuff that I just went over, this idea of the, deception that's in our world and the sad reasons why that there's a decline of biblical preaching and just people being duped so easily. All of this will lead to number two on our list of what Jesus talked about. Number two, false messiahs and fake religions. This is what Jesus said there in Matthew 24, verse 5. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So there's more deception, but it has to do with those saying, I am the Christ. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but it is an important thing to beware of in these last days. Can I just say a quick reminder? Whoever's elected for president in 2024 is not the Messiah. Has really nothing to do with Jesus for the most part, I'm going to say. Now, I do believe the Lord raises men up and puts men down. He puts men into place, women into place. Deborah, he put her into place. Esther was raised up for a time just as such as this. Samson was wacko. He makes Trump look like a nice guy. Makes Biden look smart. It's amazing. Some of these guys God puts in place, like Samson. He was a prostitute. Seeking, wacko, self-centered, weirdo, with a man bun. All that to say, but the Lord put him in that place. So the Lord's going to raise someone up in that place, and I think we should responsibly care and vote for sure. But I do worry that sometimes Christians, we forget that whoever is going to be the president is not the Messiah in 2024. But I think sometimes we almost, as conservative Christians or evangelicals, we think they're kind of one and the same, that God's raising up our man, you know, and stuff like that. That's something you should be really careful. I guarantee you'll be let down if that's the way you're looking at it. In the last days, there will come more Christs. Do you remember what the word Christ means? We did a study on this. Christos is the Greek word, and it means Messiah, which is the title for the anointed one. God's special choice is one of the, in fact, the Greek dictionary puts it this way. I think sometimes we think when it says there'll be many Christs, we think there's a bunch of guys that will come with a white robe and a blue sash looking like Jesus. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is in the last days, there's going to be many people that come saying, I'm God's choice. I'm God's special choice. I'm the anointed one to do A, B, C, or D. And people are going to fall for those false claims and false Christs according to Jesus. So in the last days, we should be really careful about that. Be really careful about that. So number three on our list, because man, I got a lot more. I got nine, so it's already almost 8 o'clock. We're in trouble. Number three, we have wars in the world. And I really need to spend some time on this one. Jesus said there in Matthew, he said, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Don't forget, nation against nation, kingdom against, it's not redundant. One is saying, you know, nation like the United States versus Iran. One is saying that. The other is saying ethnicity versus another ethnicity, which is something we're seeing today. And this is a big one. And again, this is where I would remind you that Israel is the epicenter. Of all the wars and rumors of wars, we should be sort of watching what's happening with wars and rumors of wars when it comes to the nation Israel, because they are God's timepiece when it comes to Bible prophecy. We don't get that as much in Matthew 24, even though Jesus does refer to Daniel and says, even as the prophet Daniel said, the abomination of desolation, like Jesus did give context to the wars and rumors of wars as it relates to the nation Israel. But we see that all through the Old Testament. The book of Daniel, which unlocks the book of Revelation, it really focuses on Jerusalem and the Jews and Israel. So since our last prophecy update, there's been some giant things that have happened that you really should know about. I want you to know about. The first one is the United States and Israel, our relationship has taken a big hit. You know, it was a little shocking because, you know, they thought Trump was, you know, the bee's knees. The Israelis love Trump. They name streets after Trump. They have a train in Jerusalem called the Trump Train. And it's just funny, you know, they love Trump. Why? Because he called the Golan Heights Israel. And he said the West Bank is Israel's. And he also said that the capital of Israel is Jerusalem. And was the first president to actually do something about that and move our embassy into Jerusalem. And so the Jews just deliriously loved Trump. When Biden went into office, we all thought, oh boy, this is a bad thing because Biden is just Obama, 2.0 when it comes to Israel. And the Israelis hated Obama because he was not a friend of Israel. And so I was thinking, well, that's probably what's going to happen. But shockingly, Biden has been somewhat friendly to Israel right up until right now. One of the things that we talked about in previous prophecy is what's Biden's game? What is he doing and why is he affirming Israel and so positive about the October 7th attack and so supportive? But man, we sent the Gerald Ford and a huge battle group over there supporting Israel. Like we were standing with Israel, you know, side by side. And I've admitted here at Prophecy to like, what's going on? Why is Biden so friendly with Israel? But I think what we're starting to see now is the true colors and a real agenda, whether it's Biden. I'm not sure Biden knows what's going on, honestly. But whoever's, the wizard behind the curtain, whoever's doing that, there's a real agenda and it's very anti-Israel. One of the big things you should note was when the United States, on March 25th, United States abstained on UN Security Council Resolution 2728. Now, just remember, when you abstain as a nation, that means you're kind of going to let the vote go the way it's going to go. United States has the veto power, along with a few other countries in UN, the United Nothing. There's only a few countries that have the power to veto. And we have traditionally, there's one other time where we abstained that really hurt Israel, and that was when Obama was in office. But this particular one was the most painful one. We've got the video of that there in the United Nations. They were doing the big vote on March 25th. Let's go ahead and turn that up if you have. Do we have volume on that?
254. Please raise their hand.
These are all the votes for the resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza.
Those are against.
Those against, there were no votes abstention. Against it. And this is the abstain vote.
The result of the voting is as follows. 14 votes in favor, 0 vote against, 1 abstention. The draft resolution has been adopted as resolution 27-28-2024.
So the shift in policy was gigantic. By us abstaining in our vote, we let this resolution pass. This is one of the crazy resolutions of the UN. The UN's constantly, I talked about this last time, they're constantly passing resolutions against Israel. For all the other nations in the world that need resolutions, China or North Korea, you'd think there'd be a few resolutions against them. There's 2 resolutions against Israel. For all the other countries in the world combined, the UN hates Israel. So for the United States to abstain on this vote, it was us saying, we are no longer standing with you, Israel. Like, that was a real loud and clear vote. In fact, maybe you saw the articles. They were all over the place. UN Security Council calls for immediate ceasefire in Gaza. U.S. abstains. It says there the U.S. decision to not to vote drew criticism from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who ordered his delegation that was headed for Washington to hold back their planned trip to Washington. Netanyahu said, we're not sending our people to America. Now, since then, he decided to change that. But I think Netanyahu, who was furious about Biden's move there. This article, Biden warns Netanyahu that U.S. will change policy on Gaza unless Israel protects civilians. If you know how stupid this is, if you're fighting a war that's as populated as the Gaza Strip, there are going to be civilian casualties. Nobody in the world likes civilian casualties. Nobody wants that. But to do what Israel's having to do to get rid of Hamas, who wants to behead them, kill them, it's in their charter to push Israel off the map, they have to defend themselves. We've done whole studies on why Israel has to defend itself as a nation. But our president saying, we're going to change our policy on Gaza is basically changing our policy on Israel. This article says, during a phone call with his Israeli counterpart on Thursday, Biden stressed that Israel's strikes on humanitarian workers and overall humanitarian situation is unacceptable, according to a White House readout of the call. One thing that happened this last week, sadly, was the Israelis hit a humanitarian convoy. It was a friendly fire kind of situation, which is really unfortunate. I mean, 7 people were killed. One was an American, one was a Palestinian. There were some people from other countries there trying to give aid to the people in Gaza. And the Israelis, their weapons hit that and killed those 7 people. So that, and immediately Israel came out, admitted, and said it was a mistake. But the world, is not going to be that lenient. Now, I got to say, one of the things that's painful is how sanctimonious the world is on that. But has the United States ever accidentally hit innocent targets? We've done it a lot all over the world. It's something that happens. And I would say, it's a sad thing of war. War is ugly and it's really hard to, but if there's ever been a nation that's tried harder than anybody else to not have civilian casualties, Israel has been second to none. And yet the narrative is those Israelis are genocidally wiping out Palestinians. It's not what's happening. That's just a lie from, I think, the enemy, Satan. But it's all part of the plan to hate Israel, according to the Bible. That's what's going to happen in the last days. But, of course, Anthony Blinken came in with the same sentiment, saying we're going to change our, if we don't see changes, we're going to change our policy on Israel. Now, you say, okay, Brett, whatever, who cares? You should care. I'll tell you why. Remember what the Bible says in Genesis 12, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. Did you know, and this is not sensationalism in my opinion, I think this is traceable, trackable information. In fact, there's a book out, it's an older book, but they did an update, I think it was back in 2017. It's called Eye to Eye. How many of you guys have read this by William Koenig? Any of you guys? Few of you? Okay, this is an interesting book because basically this guy tracks whenever the United States makes policy that goes against Israel, cataclysmic things happen in our nation. You could make a little bit too much. I heard people, when the bridge was taken out there by the big cargo ship, it was the same day. Was it the same or the day after we abstained on the vote? And then the bridge collapses there. Is that one of those things? I don't know. Maybe not. But when you look and trace all the times the United States have tried to make a two-state solution or, you know, did anything against Israel, there's always been some cataclysmic. In fact, over $100 billion record-setting catastrophes and events have always occurred when U.S. presidents from George Bush, Clinton, the other Bush, Obama, Donald Trump, whenever there was pressure on calling Israel to divide their covenanted land from the Bible, there's been cataclysmic, catastrophic, expensive doom on the United States. So it's an interesting read, to say the least, and you can track it and see it. So I'm a little concerned. You know, we've been a blessing to Israel, and I think that's why our nation has largely been blessed, because we've stood by Israel. But this past week particularly, we're turning hard against Israel, and the rhetoric is ramping up. And so I would just say to America, hang on to your hats. Let's see what happens. According to the Bible, I think we should be concerned about that. Reuters, something that you should know about, did an article, and something you maybe you heard about. Iran says Israel bombed its embassy in Syria and killed commanders. Now, the reason why it's always interesting, Israel never really admits to this stuff, especially the stuff that's happened in Syria. They just say, did you guys bomb the Syrian embassy? And they just say, it's none of your business. But this article is, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, said in a statement that 7 Iranian military advisors died in the strike of the embassy in Damascus, including Mohammad Reza Zahidi, who was the top senior Quds Force, which is an elite foreign espionage and paramilitary arm of Iran. Israel has long targeted Iran's military institutions in Syria, but Monday's attack was the first time Israel hit the vast embassy compound itself. Israel typically doesn't discuss the attacks by its forces on Syria. When asked about the strike, the military spokesman of Israel said, "We do not comment on reports of foreign media." But the IRGC generals were training all the Iranian proxies in Syria, Lebanon, and the whole area, Hezbollah, and all those anti-Israel proxies of Iran. Because of this attack, you should know, this is a big event that happened this last week. This attack, the Iranians are now ramping up the rhetoric, saying, we're going to avenge our generals that were slaughtered. 6 F-35s from Israel and 20 rockets destroyed this annex of the embassy, killing those 7 leaders. The Iranians are enraged, and it happened on Ramadan, just before Al-Quds Day. So Israel is on high alert. In fact, maybe you saw this. Some of the footage of this is kind of alarming when you see the embassy that was wiped out. But you got to understand, people say, well, that's just mean of Israel. But what you also have to understand is rockets are coming across the border from Hezbollah all day long. That's something that's happening all the time. People think, oh, how can Israel do this? You know, Israel's just, defending itself as a nation. But when they defend themselves, they're actually pretty good at it, unlike the Hezbollah, who have those Katusha-type rockets that are not very accurate. But the world is again, saying, shame on Israel for doing such a thing. But this is Israel defending itself as a nation. This article talks about how CIA warns Iran will attack Israel within 48 hours as revenge for consulate strike. So our CIA is saying this is gonna happen, and they said that 24 hours ago. I thought I'd be changing my notes on my way to church tonight, because we're still waiting for, it could be happening as we speak, who knows? But the Iranians have promised that they're gonna do this. Our own CIA says there's gonna be a strike within now, the next 24 hours, Iran against Israel. Now, will Iran bomb Tel Aviv or Jerusalem? Probably not. Iran knows that it cannot really afford to get in a head-to-head war against Israel. But they will hit Israel outside of Israel, Israeli embassies. So the Israelis have emptied all their embassies in the Middle East. That's happened all recently. That's noteworthy when it comes to these things that are going on. U.S. intelligence officials have branded Israel's strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria as reckless. That's, again, we're not standing with Israel, even though we should be. And the United States, we fear a wider war in the Middle East. The Hill article, Israel halts military leave. Nobody got military leave this weekend because they're on high alert as Iran threatens to strike. All that to say, Blinken had another tense phone call with Israeli Prime Minister yesterday over the war. In the call, Biden pushed Netanyahu reaching a ceasefire and hostage release deal with Hamas, which has remained out of reach. The prime minister must empower his team to the max extent possible to see if we can get this deal in place, said White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby. The rest of the world is sanctimoniously criticizing Israel. That's one of the things that's most Bible prophecy about this. You know, the wars in Israel, that's one thing. But to know the hatred and anti-Semitism and seeing that ramping up and the rest of the world, including the United States, you know, shaking our finger at Israel saying, you guys are behaving badly, even though they're just a tiny little country smaller than New Jersey trying to defend themselves from a giant Arab confederation of nations, humongous. You know, the news paints Israel as the Goliath, and all the poor little Arabs as the David. Just look at a map. I mean, check it out. Look at how many people are involved. It's David and Goliath, all right. They're just getting their biblical story backwards. The Jews are still David, and Goliath is still the Palestinians and the Arab nations. It hasn't changed at all. But the world's trying to flip-flop that. In a Jerusalem Post article, a message to Israel, what's Russia doing about what Israel's doing? United States shaking our finger at them. Russia deploys more forces in Syria's Golan Heights. For you Bible prophecy people, this is gigantic. This happened earlier this year, or last year, I should say, but it's happening more and more. In fact, even this week, more Russian troops are being deployed right on the northern border. There's Russians standing at the north border of Israel, looking into Israel right now. For you that know your Bible prophecy, Ezekiel 38 says that there's going to be a hook that's put in Russia, Gog and Magog's jaws, and she'll be drawn down to war against Israel with a confederation of nations, including, shockingly, Iran, along with Turkey, which all the players are in place. Like, there's more and more of that happening. But Russia's decision to make their presence in the Golan Heights, it's happening more as this strike, Israel bombing Damascus, the Russians are saying, oh, we need to be more present down there. Moscow called the Jewish state to cease such, quote, completely unacceptable actions, as it has requested a meeting with the UN Security Council regarding the strike. All that to say, the Times of Israel, you know, tells more about what's happening there on the Golan Heights. This is, by the way, the Golan Heights, you got to understand, this is Athey Creek footage. We were there on a dust storm day. That's not rain or clouds, it's dust. But we're up in these Golan Heights where, you know, all the wars of Israel were fought in these bunkers. There's bullet marks and stuff. But we do some Bible teaching up here on this mountain, Mount Bental, one of the mountains in the wars of Israel that was fought over. There's Syrian tanks littered on the hillside from the previous wars. We've done Bible teaching up there. It's kind of fun, but this is right where the line is of the Iranians, the Russians, lined up right on the border of Israel, and it's strategically a very important part of what's going on. By the way, Jordan, the next door neighbor of Israel, that's technically stood with Israel, that's very much threatened right now. For the 11th night in a row, just across this border into Jordan, so you got Syria in the north there, you got Lebanon extreme north, and then you got Jordan, the Jordanian border on the other side. The Jordanians are turning their views on Israel. There's huge chance, tens of thousands of people in Amman, Jordan, crying, death to Israel, death to America. Jordan's becoming more and more like all the other, there's some Syrian tanks that are left there from the wars of Israel. But this protest movement began March 24th, just a few days ago, and they've been for 11 nights in a row protesting Israel and America. And they're even saying that they want to, tear apart the peace treaty that Jordan signed with Israel back in 1994. And so all that to say, tensions are ramping up. This past week, more and more nations have really turned angry toward Israel. And that's noteworthy when you know your Bible prophecy, something to note. Business Insider, the Times of Israel. Oh, this is the one I was just reading and talking about. Business Insider video captures a rare drone on drone combat as exploding Ukrainian quadcopters blow up Russian grenade launching robots. The reason I put this in here is the Bible talks about that in the last days, these nations that are going to war against Israel, particularly Antichrist. Did you know Antichrist is going to worship something? Does anybody know what Antichrist is going to worship? Munitions is what the Bible says, which is weaponry. But one of the things this, you know, Ukrainian war and the Russians, and you always see when war happens, new inventions of warfare, paraphernalia always surface. There's a video that I just thought was interesting. These are Russian sort of bots that hurl things like grenades and stuff, and it doesn't cost life, but you roll these little things in. Well, the Ukrainians show this video of they have these little drones that they can fly into these little Russian bots. And so this is like literal robot warfare happening. You see the drone coming up to that little bot, and all of a sudden, boom. And you know, we laugh at this because it looks like little robots running around. But if you were standing on the ground there in this war-torn country and you saw these things roll, here's another one coming in there's the drone coming in. Just like our drone we had Sunday, watching you guys park your cars. We saw a show online. The same kind of thing, only boom. That's what we should do when people don't park where they're supposed to. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that, I promise. So these little quadcopter drones can be seen blowing up Russians' unmanned ground vehicles, or UGVs, as they're called. Here's another one coming up to double destroy this one. The assault captures an unusual instance of drones fighting each other instead of people in armor, what have you. So wars and rumors of wars, weapons that are going to be invented, that's all part of the end time scenario. We're watching that stuff happen. Number four on the list, again, I got to hurry. I'll go fast on some of these. Increase in hunger. Have you guys been following what's going on in the world? You know, when you think we've got hunger sort of conquered in the world, like we were getting a grip on hunger around the world. But just when we thought we were getting a handle on world hunger, Jesus said, you know, there shall be famines in the last days. And you kind of wondered, how bad is that going to be when we were getting a handle on it? Well, right now, food insecurity is increasing at an alarming rate. The Economist, the coming food catastrophe, did a whole article on this. In 2022, nearly 258 million people across 58 countries experienced crisis-level food insecurity or worse, according to the World Food Program, the WFP. Crisis levels are above what have been indicated recently and have affected people, and it's changing lives. This number of people is the highest on record and represents the fourth consecutive year of increasing acute food insecurity globally. It is kind of interesting that even in the United States, we're having some shortages on some things, and some people believe that's just the tip of the iceberg, what we're seeing. This article, The Coming Food Catastrophe, by invading Ukraine, that Vladimir Putin will destroy the lives of people far from the battlefield, but on a scale even he may regret, this article says. The war is battering a global food system weakened by COVID-19, climate change, and an energy shock. Ukraine's exports of grains and oil seeds have mostly stopped, and Russia's are threatened. So one of the things that you don't really think about with the Russian-Ukrainian conflict is how it's affecting Europe, and it will affect the United States. But that's something to keep an eye on, that the Bible says famine is gonna mark the last days as well. Here's a fun one, number five, earthquakes in diverse places. For nation shall rise against nation, Matthew 24, kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. Did you see there was an earthquake in New York City today? Did you see that? Those of us on the West Coast would call that just a little quiver. They were all freaking out over there in New York. That was today. It was the biggest area earthquake since 1884. it was a 4.8 on the Richter scale, but you'll see videos, you know, going around of this earthquake, and I'm not laughing at them, but this is the stuff that they saw, their little in-house cameras and stuff. It's funny how the animals always know about stuff before people do. But this was a little coffee shop. It's like people were like, what's going on? You know, and they could see the little bit of shaking going on there. But an earthquake in this is at the UN. They were being shaken up, which they should be shaken up a little bit. But as it turns out, all across the world, have you noticed there is, in fact, a ramping up of earthquakes, and it's not like the little quiver in New York City. Quakes like this in Turkey and other places, this is the kind of stuff, you know, yeah, this is the kind of stuff they're seeing all around the world right now. This is just, like, we got this footage just easy. It's all over. This is just this past year footage in Turkey and other places. These are real shots of what's happened in 2023. Landslides, that's where you want to be in an earthquake, is a helicopter, I think. But what's interesting about, you know, earthquakes in diverse places, we're seeing that and they're ramping up. Some people say, no, it's because our technology's better and we're calculating when earthquakes are happening. But they're happening in places that aren't even part of the Ring of Fire in the Pacific Rim, places where they didn't really think earthquakes were going to be happening. But it is happening all over the world right now, earthquakes. It is increasing. Israel has some interesting things that they're tracking. In 2019, Israel introduced a new EEW system, Earthquake Early Warning System. Those that know this stuff, they believe the Dead Sea study suggests valid earthquake forecasts coming in their near future. Of course, in that region of the world, there's been some of the biggest earthquakes in world's history. There was a 10.0 back in like 700 BC that they know, because of every city on that whole side of the world was, or, you know, in that Middle Eastern region was leveled and everything just fell over. It was a giant earthquake. But in 2019, putting this new system in, they've been tracking from the Dead Sea down in Eilat all the way up to the Golan Heights. They can issue an earthquake warning several seconds up to minutes, even before perhaps the earthquake hits. The system they have is aptly named Teruah, which means shofar blast in Hebrew. It should be noted that massive earthquakes are going to be a part of the last day's scenario. Jesus said it, earthquakes in diverse places. But like we sang earlier, there's going to be such a big earthquake when Jesus puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem's going to shake and be split in half, and a river is going to gush forth from Jerusalem. That's what we sang, Ezekiel chapter 46. Zechariah 14:8 says, and it shall be in that day the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea, east and west of Jerusalem. And that'll happen in the summer and the winter. It shall be a year-round river flowing from Jerusalem. That's going to change things. In the book of Revelation, there's 5 earthquakes described in the book of Revelation. There's some at the opening of the 6th and 7th seals. You guys that know your book of Revelation, just before and after the 7th trumpet, during the 7th bowl of wrath, there's going to be earthquakes. The last earthquake is identified as the greatest one. You know, everybody talks about the big one. You know, everybody, Oregon, we're going to have the big one. When's that going to happen? Well, I don't know about that, but we know there's going to be a big one, the big one, in the last days. It says in Revelation 16:18 that's going to be the big earthquake. And a lot of the earth population will die because of that earthquake. These are the end time stuff. Now, by the way, good news, if you're a Christian, you won't be at that, because I believe we'll be taken up to be in heaven, raptured, but that earthquake is coming. Okay, number 6 on the list. Is that where we're on, number 6? Incurable sickness and pandemics, or disease, plagues, as it were. The spread of, coronavirus kind of made us think this. It's where Jesus said there, you know, there shall be pestilences there in this part of his dissertation. The word can also be plague. There's going to be plagues that are going to be marking the last days, incurable plagues. And you wonder if coronavirus was just like a precursor. And how many of these are going to be human-induced or human-created? Incurable. Like, it's going to be us doing it to ourselves, I think, if what I see is happening continues. Revelation 11, 6, these have the power, the two witnesses that are going to be there will have the power to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will, it says there in Revelation 11, 6. That's the two witnesses that are going to be able to do the same kinds of plagues against the Christ-rejecting, evil, sinful world. But all that to say, that's something that we track. And whenever you see these bird flu and disease articles, I kind of always chalk them up and go, more trouble. The CDC is going to have their work cut out for them and the World Health Organization, because the Bible says it's only going to get worse as we get closer to the end. Number seven, something to keep an eye on is persecution of Christians. It says then in Matthew 24, Jesus said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I think this will ramp up until in the middle of the tribulation. So what that means is you and I as Christians might see this persecution of Christians ramp up and you shall be hated. Do you start to feel that a little bit? You know, when you live in the Portland area, you kind of feel that way more than maybe other places around the country. Deb and I were in Austin, Texas a couple weeks ago and just kind of shocked at how friendly everybody is, and they're all Christians down there. God bless you, man. You know, what church do you go to? What denomination are you? Like people talk about church and faith down there. I'm not sure that's super healthy, because there's a lot of people like God bless America Christians, if you know what I mean. I'm not sure they really know the Lord, but they're sure nice people. That could be a problem. And if you're a Christian in Portland, you're probably not just one of those fence rider Christians. I mean, like, to be a Christian in this town, you kind of have to make a stand, and people will hate you. I think we're starting to see that more and more. Washington Times article, kind of interesting, just yesterday, persecution of Christianity is no longer a future threat. It is alive and well in America right now. Washington Times, I guess this was an interesting article. Back in summer of 2023, a story broke that some large corporations and banks were weaponizing business and financial systems against conservative faith-based organizations. Not to be a whiner, but we feel that at Athey Creek. There's a reason we have a federal lawsuit against the Clackamas County. And it's because there's been a taking away of our religious liberties as a church. And the judge in a preliminary injunction hearing told the county, you're going to lose this. They told the county that. And the county's like, well, whatever. And they keep talking about land use laws and stuff. But that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with our religious liberty. We're dealing with the Constitution of the United States. The problem that we're having right now, if you're wondering, is the judge has been very friendly and even listening to our case. But nobody cares about the time. They're like, oh, we'll figure this out, you know, and they keep delaying the hearings. It just keeps, you know, meanwhile, we did 8 services last Sunday. That's not easy for the teams here at Athey Creek, doing 8 services. We had thousands of cars and people coming and going, and it's just kind of hard. And sadly, we have people drive in and turn around and have to drive out, which is, that's the problem. You know, we should be able to build a church building, have a parking lot that allows us to meet unhindered and worship our Lord in our own property in a way that's unhindered. And so that's kind of what we're dealing with. I wouldn't call that persecution. I would say if you live, you know, in other countries like China, you're probably feeling more real persecution that's very dangerous. But it's growing, even according to Washington Times. I think there's little micro persecution jabs coming in things like Resurrection Sunday being declared, you know, transgender visibility day. Now, I know what all y'all are thinking out there watching, you critics and cynics. You're saying, yeah, it's just the same day every year. But I would argue having transgender visibility day is kind of ridiculous to begin with, whether it's the same day every year or not. But to make a big deal out of it, see, the problem is they made a big deal out of it. This is the White House website right here. I took this screenshot right off of, and it just says right there, now, this was signed just last week. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of authority vested in me by the Constitution, by the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. And you know, this is something he signed. It says, in witness thereof, I have heretofore set up my hand. The truth is that he declared this last Sunday as transgender. The most visible group of people in the world, I would say, are transgender people right now. Some people are really sick of seeing them, like Mulvaney and those, you know, the Bud Light. Bud Light doesn't want anything to do with transgender people right now because there's too much visibility. It was a little too much. But anyway, all that to say, number eight, we're almost done. Number eight, the love of believers growing cold. Jesus talked about that. There in Jesus's Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24:10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. There in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall go shall wax cold. Jesus said, because basically lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. That's ESV version. Whether it's because of the deluding influence of false teaching and churches that aren't reading the Bible, or persecution, or the fear of death, or the zeal of many, they're gonna diminish. The idea is there's gonna be division and hatred even among God's people. The love of people, their love toward God and the love toward the church will grow cold. And I think we're seeing that. People are becoming irreligious. Ex-evangelical is a term that's becoming popularized now as people are moving away and very much hating those that are Christians who love Jesus and are following the word of God. That's something we'll see as we get further down the road. I'd like to end on a positive note, Mr. Positivity. Because, you know, it's not about doom and gloom. What's it about? Boom and zoom, the rapture of the church. We look forward to that. The Lord's gonna take us up out of here. Brett, you're just an escapist. So I say, yes, I am. Jesus said in Luke 12, pray that you be counted worthy to escape these things in Luke 21:12. But all that to say, there's one more that I feel like we gloss over. This is Jesus talking about the end times, but he says in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, he says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What's gonna happen before the end comes? The gospel preached to all the world for a witness to all nations. You know, it's funny, when we started Athey Creek back in 1996, my goal was to preach some of the gospel to anyone in Tualatin who'd be willing to listen. And that was my goal. And I never really had a goal to have a big church. I just wanted to have a meaningful church of people who love Jesus and are willing to go through the Bible. And it was really fun. We got to 100 people. I remember like, oh man, this is great. When we reached 500, like, okay, that's good, Lord, right there. Let's stop. 500 is a doable number. We can know everybody and have a blast and do church barbecues on the spur of the moment. And then it just kept growing. But one of the things that we're seeing here at Athey that's kind of exciting, and I really couldn't have foreseen what the Lord would do. And by his grace, he's using a very imperfect person and a very imperfect church and team. But God's just doing kind of a unique and wonderful thing in something that I would have never imagined it actually doing that. And what is it? Man, the reach that we have has been really fun to see people saved. We had people, some of our watch parties were like, let us know, man, we had our watch party, it was all warm and fun and Resurrection Sunday service. And one guy said, all of a sudden there were people weeping in my house because they were hearing the sermon. And like, what do you do with people weeping in your house? It's like, they're getting saved. This is awesome. They're hearing the good news of the gospel. And I love that. I just love hearing stories about that. We had tons of people, every single service had tons of people accepting Christ this last weekend. The online thing is what's shocking. I mean, we were shocked because we did 8 services here with like 15,000 people that went through the building on Easter Sunday, which is kind of amazing. But we had 62,000 individual, what do you call them? IP addresses. Yes, thank you, all you computer people. We had 62,000 IP addresses that connected with us, which who knows how many people that is on the other side of each screen with watch parties and all that stuff. You know, the farm church up there in Hillsboro, I probably shouldn't say this, but they had 400 people. They're Athey Creek, sort of a multi-site, if you would. They're a screen and a couple big tents, and they park out in a cow field, and they basically just gather in the cold in a tent. I think it's really intense what they're doing out there. Sorry. But it's cool. You know, it's cool what the farm church is doing out there. They're probably watching tonight. It's such a cool thing. But one thing the Lord just has stirred our hearts, our leadership team here, and I wanted to get you guys in on this and something to be praying about. Jesus said the gospel of his kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall come the end shall come. You and I, we have a job to do, and I guess our Athey Creek leadership team, we've been so small, you know, like, let's just win Tualatin over as much as we can or see as many people saved. But our reach, the Lord has just kind of broadened our borders, you know, if you would. And our reach is all over the world. We're seeing people hear the gospel and get saved. Even last Sunday, we just walked away just totally blessed how many people coming to know the Lord. And it makes us realize we have a job to do, not just here, but really globally, and to continue to preach the gospel. One of the things we're praying about, you know, with that many people here in the building, eight services, I was thinking, man, I wish we could rent the Moda Center, you know, and just have one big service. That'd be kind of cool. One thing we're praying about, should we do like an invitation thing where we invite all of Portland, kind of old Billy Graham style crusade where we just preach the gospel and just see if, I mean, the cool thing is if just Athey Creek shows up, we have a pretty full stadium. That's pretty cool. But if y'all brought your friends and stuff, so that's something we're praying about. Maybe even working on summer of 2025, because it takes a while to put something like that together and to reserve the Moda Center and stuff like that. But we're praying about, Lord, what would you have us do just to preach the gospel as hard as we know how, without any, not being ashamed of the gospel at all, just saying we're going to, and talk about a city that needs it. Portland is so lost. Why not just go for the most powerful presentation of the gospel as we can muster up? Because that's what we're supposed to do. It shall be preached, Jesus said. And there's going to come a time where it'll reach all the nations and it'll come to an end. But until then, we're supposed to be busy. This is what we should be doing till Jesus comes, sharing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose from the grave, and anyone who will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart the Lord Jesus, God will save them. You will be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's something that's such a great message. In all the bad news, it's so refreshing to have some good news. And people are hungry for that news. There's a lot of sad, lost, confused, deceived people that need to hear the good news of the gospel. That's what we should all be about. Amen? Amen. Lord, I thank you for this group tonight as we just have considered just even the words of Jesus as it relates to the last days. We just continue to see those signs stacking up. The days that we're living, Lord, they definitely start to feel like we are living in the last days. And I pray that no matter if we are or if we're not, that we'd be busy about the work that you've called us to do. Preaching the gospel, keeping our eyes open, watching, being sober, being vigilant. But Lord, even as your word says, that we occupy until you come. Lord, help us to be busy about your work. I pray this wouldn't be a prophecy update just to sort of make us have fun thinking about stuff. But may this prophecy update be that which stirs our hearts to go and preach the gospel and to be lights in the dark world. So bless these your people now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.